Hey, cassettes, and welcome back to another briefcase of the Black Case Diaries.
Oh,
hey.
My gosh.
Oh, hey.
Hello, everyone.
It's late. We're feeling great.
Yeah.
It's late.
And we're feeling great.
The Oscars weren't on at 8.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Welcome to our annual Oscars briefcase.
Yes, welcome. Yes.
We are usually three old friends learning everything we can about movies and TV and hopefully teaching you in the process. I'm Robin.
I'm Marcy.
And I'm Adam.
Hey. So tonight we watched this thing called the Oscars. I don't know if you've heard of it before, but
yeah. It's a tiny little production.
They've done it approximately 96 times. And tonight we
give or take.
Yeah, you know.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about it.
Man, Woo. You know, just real quick. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll go nuts for the 100th? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have to.
It's going to be like a 4-hour.
It's got to be like a mega show at that point, right?
So many montages.
I hope so. Yes. The montages are the best part.
Montages are my favorite part.
They really are. Yeah. They need to replace the commercials.
I know.
Wow, yeah.
Just take
great.
Over the whole ad block.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Montage.
Honestly, they could afford it.
They could do it.
Yeah, they could do it.
The Oscars was a little different than usual. Mm-hmm. You know, they always like to shake things up.
Yeah.
This year, they had it on at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock for us on the Eastern Coast.
7 was heaven.
Yes, we enjoyed that a lot. We were very happy. It was an hour earlier.
Why not make it 2 next year?
I mean, 6 o'clock. I mean, people tune in for the Super Bowl at 6 o'clock.
That's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll... 6:30, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Close
enough.
Whenever that thing is on. Yeah. So, yeah, it was on at 7 o'clock. Pretty big.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big thing. Mm-hmm. They, I believe, eliminated the concept of having some awards not being... given live. They did that for a couple of years, and there was a lot of uproar, and people were very upset about that, and I agreed. Right.
They had so many commercials that they would just, like, come back and show what won over the commercial.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Or they would just
show it.
They would give it before the ceremony.
Yeah.
And they would record it, edit their speech for us, and then put it, it was really upsetting.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad they didn't do that this year. Mm-hmm. This year they appeared to give us all the awards.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yes.
They announced that they're going to add a category next year for casting, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's achievement and casting.
I still think they should split sound
back into
two categories.
Mixing and editing,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should, honestly, they should have a lot more categories.
Yes, they really should.
Yeah.
But,
and they do. I mean, they have the Governor's Awards, and they have awards that aren't televised.
That's
true. So what did you guys think of this year's Oscars?
I think this was probably the best Oscars in quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
For many reasons. It was earlier, which is just...
I mean, that made it infinitely better already.
Can't state it enough.
Yeah.
Can't state it enough. But it was... It felt like they gave time to people.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play people off very quickly.
Yeah.
Even the not like super big awards, like a lot of the behind the scenes awards, they still had time to say what they wanted most of the time. They had like actually good jokes and bits.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it felt like everybody was having a good time for once.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot of fluff. That, you know, there usually is a lot of fluff between awards, and they didn't really do that nearly as much.
No.
Yeah, they
doubled down. They doubled up awards.
I was going to say
which was nice.
They had the announcers come out, do whatever bit they were going to do, because they always do some kind
of
bit.
Of course, yeah.
And they'd announce one, they'd get their speech, and then those people, the same announcers would come out again and just nominations for the next one. Like, they didn't even do a second bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like... That's how they save the time to let people talk, and it
was cool. It was cool.
It just keeps your interest a whole lot more too.
Yeah.
Like I was able to focus more on it the whole time.
Yeah, Marcy was
wanting to fall asleep. Yeah. I mean, I still kind of wanted to fall asleep.
I wanted
but
to too. I got pretty tired.
It was easier to stay awake.
Yes. What did you guys think of Jimmy Kimmel as the host again?
I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said, the jokes landed for most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, the jokes did pretty well.
Yeah. Some of them, I mean, you're always going to have some that don't work all that well. But, like, overall, I think it was just, well put together. They the performances were good and well shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The maybe one thing I would change is like keep the In Memoriam on screen, please.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I understand they had other stuff they wanted to show.
Yeah.
In the shot,
they were having dancers perform, and they wanted us to see that. Yeah.
And I understand that, but you know,
I think he was more genuine than other hosts have been, and
there
instead of there being a lot of quips or a lot of jokes about the other actors and stuff, there was a lot more of like, wow, you did this thing and that was really great and that was cool. And, you know, like there was more of that kind of celebration.
More praise and celebration than...
Yeah, than like making fun of people.
Yeah.
So I think that that was probably a welcome change for a lot of the... I imagine they're pretty uncomfortable sitting in that room and like, God, what is he going to say?
Yeah.
What's he going to say about
me? And
then
are like, they going to focus on my face? And,
Am I going to be a meme tomorrow?
Yeah.
A lot of the jokes were not at the expense of people.
Yes.
They were just jokes.
They were just jokes.
Yeah.
And some of the jokes that were like at the expense was at the expense of the Oscars itself.
Yeah.
Like there were a few jokes about like, oh, there's only a few awards left and it shouldn't take that long. But it will.
I really liked that. I liked because he made that joke about Robert Downey Jr. early. And I feel like he really pivoted after that.
Was that in his opening?
Yeah, that was in the opening.
In the opening when he said that this is like probably the highest point of his career. Well, not the highest.
Yeah.
And you could tell the audience was had mixed feelings about that joke. And Robert Downey Jr. in the audience, he was pointing to his nose.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel said, are you saying it's too on the nose or is that like a drug thing? And
like, all right.
And then he did the real in gesture. You know? And I could see Jimmy Kimmel seemed a little nervous to me after that. But then he kind of pivoted and, you know.
Yep.
So,
he reeled it in.
He really did. He did. Yep. He was like, okay, moving on. So I did think that it was pretty good overall.
Yeah.
He made only one joke referencing the whole La La Land Moonlight debacle
from
several years ago. And it was towards the end, too. Like, he waited.
I was going to say, I think it was because of
Emma
Stone.
It was simply because Emma Stone had won.
I feel like
if
you didn't know.
The joke would have been different had somebody else won.
I thought of it too. The moment she won, I was like, this is just like that year where she won Best Actress. And then what happened was they accidentally handed the duplicate saying she won Best Actress.
Yeah.
And then when they opened it, of course, they saw La La Land written on it.
Right.
Because that's the movie she won for. Mm-hmm. And so, you know. Yep. And that's what happened in the past. So then that's what he was like, now just make sure we shred that other envelope. So that does not happen again.
We
don't need that again.
Yeah.
He's like, this is going far too well.
This is actually going really well. One big change that I noticed was that they had the orchestra above the stage this year.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big fan of that.
That was nice.
I felt like they were featured so much more
this
year. Yeah,
they kept showing them,
That was really nice. Mm-hmm. I liked that a lot. Because they're, you know, just kind of hidden. The music just happens, you know?
The stage was, like, really elaborate.
Yeah.
They had a lot of different ways to show stuff. They had the main rectangle screen that would come down from the ceiling to show off nominees or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they also had the circle screen that was built into the stage that would go up and down to show the orchestra that was up there.
Yeah.
And then they had those five big, like, tower screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were like banners, that would come down to do their... the thing that we'll get into with the actor awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they used them for the In Memoriam as well.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. And the whole stage would change colors between commercial breaks and like they had the award at the top, whatever award they were talking about at the top. It was really nicely put together this year.
Okay. Anyways. So let's do this then.
Yeah,
huh?
Let's get
talk
started.
About, we're going to go over the ballot. So I did something fun. I filled out a ballot that was the quote best odds.
Yes.
Which I used covers.com, not a sponsor. That's who I looked at.
Yeah.
If
you don't know, you're now allowed to bet on the Oscars.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes. And so I was like, well, let me just fill out a ballot that, you know, is their odds and what they chose.
Yeah. Just to
see how well they did.
Yeah. Versus us.
Versus us.
real quick before we get to the first one, how well did you guys do?
Terrible.
I got 7.
Me too.
Nice.
That's so fun.
Boom.
I got more than that, but we don't have to talk about it.
I figured. You know what?
I'll
take it. I kind of figured you would probably get the most, and I'm like, you know what? If I tie with Adam, it's perfect.
How many did you get?
I got 16.
Wow, yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah. Most of them were guesses, so.
I
guess all of them are guesses.
Like,
all.
Yeah. Yeah, I
even
mean,
if you think you've made the right choice,
I'm just
like,
a terrible guesser.
Yeah, no.
I even watched, you know, a decent amount.
Well, do
of
you
want to
know how the other one did?
The betting.
Oh
odds.
Yes,
betting
let's, okay.
They got
right.
17 out of 23.
Wow. So
okay.
So, only
but that's
be,
only one
they
more
only
than
by
you.
One. Oh. So,
so right, it sounds right. like maybe you.
I should bet on the
should
Oscars.
Bet on the Oscars because you are. You're right on the money. You only would have missed out on one.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe I should. Maybe
based
I should.
On if you bet with them the entire time, you
yeah,
only would have missed one.
Yeah, I would
one.
Only would have missed yeah. one. Well, let's go through these categories. We're going to just basically go through it as they are on the ballot. We're using the New York Times ballot. So we'll just go ahead and start with Best Picture.
Let's do all it.
Right.
So the winner of Best Picture was Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nominees. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And Al Pacino made sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, my eyes see Oppenheimer on this thing. Is that correct?
Yes. Al Pacino.
Yeah.
He did the award. He announced it, and everyone was really happy to see him, I guess.
Yeah.
And everyone got up on their feet, and they're, you know, happy to see him. And, yeah, he opened it up, and he did not do a lot of fanfare. He really opened it, and he went, I see Oppenheimer.
It was very anticlimactic. Yeah. I was like waiting for him to be like, and the winner.
I know.
He didn't do that.
He did not do it. He was like, I am not getting this wrong.
And I think the crowd kind of like wasn't
was
ready
confused.
For that either. They were like,
yeah.
They were like, wait, did he say
is that what it is? Okay.
Is that
Oppenheimer.
What it is?
Okay.
Yeah. It is Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
okay.
Is that the answer? Yeah. Because when he said it, I thought that too. I was like, is he
waiting for somebody
is
else
he
to
waiting
confirm?
For somebody to yeah yes the winner was Oppenheimer. The other nominees were American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. American Fiction is one that I want to talk a little bit about because Adam hasn't seen that
one.
It's about an author who he's a black author and his publisher tells him that, you know, publishing houses, they want a black book, a book about the black experience.
Oh, brilliant.
And so what he does as a joke is he writes this kind of pandering book that just kind of hits all the beats of what he thinks they're looking
want.
For.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even though it's a joke, they take it seriously.
Yeah. That's about right.
And then
oh my gosh, this is like a true
goodness
like,
yeah. And
nice.
Yeah, that movie is very good. I really enjoyed it. Anatomy of a Fall, that one is the one that's like a kind of a crime thriller movie where a woman is accused of killing her husband.
Yeah.
Barbie, we don't need to talk about what that one's about. Everybody,
yeah. I mean,
everybody's got it. The Holdovers was one of my absolute favorites.
Yes.
So good.
From this year. It's about a staunchy high school boarding school teacher.
Yep.
And he's stuck holding over the holidays with a young troubled student.
Yep.
And the manager of the cafeteria.
Yep.
And it's a really cute movie.
I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Because this was one that Robin said, if you're going to watch any of them, watch this one, please, so that we can talk about
it. Yes. Yes.
And I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah.
I will say I loved the aesthetic of this movie.
Yeah.
Because it captured the 70s or late 60s, early 70s so well. And props for using the old Universal logo at the top.
Yeah.
That, it fooled me. I was like, is this the right?
Yeah.
Like, I had to check. I was like, I picked the right movie, right? So.
God, I loved The Holdovers. I really did. It's like a comfort food movie for me now.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably going to be one of my favorite Christmas movies for the rest of my life. I'm probably going to watch it at least once a year at Christmas.
That's right. It is Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie, and it's I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was really good. So that one, I definitely recommend people watch.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's one I think got a lot of Oscar buzz originally, like when it was first coming out. Mm-hmm. And that one is really good. Long. It's kind of the theme. Remember, Jimmy Kimmel made fun of it when he was talking about how long the movies were.
And it actually ties into one of the other awards that happened when, I'm struggling to remember which award it was, but the guy who gave the speech basically had a point where he's like, hey, can we, let's stop making...
It was American Fiction.
Yeah.
But do you remember which award it was?
It was Best Adapted Screenplay.
Adapted Screenplay, okay. Mm-hmm. He basically said, paraphrase, stop making such expensive movies.
Yeah.
Like, you're making one $500 million movie.
Yeah.
Why not make 20 $10 million movies or 50 $4 million movies?
Yeah.
Like, there are so many untouched stories and talent.
Yep.
It's like
he's like the next great Scorsese could be out there.
Anywhere. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
We've talked about it on this show, thinking about the rooms at studios that are just shelves or filing cabinets full of unused scripts.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, there's good stuff in there.
Yeah.
And it's just like they can't take the risk on a movie that's not a surefire thing, because they're gonna spend a gazillion dollars making it, and it has to make a gazillion dollars to be worth it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you make a movie that only costs a little bit, and then it does amazingly, or it doesn't have to do amazingly, you still make your money back.
Yeah.
So it kind of that same thing.
Right. Maestro is about the life of Leonard Bernstein.
Yes.
More specifically, the relationship with him and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very, very good.
Yes.
And then Oppenheimer, the winner.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who's seen it of the three of us.
Yep.
You know,
you are.
I intended to see it in the theater because when I first saw the trailer for it, I was like, that's a movie that reminds me of Imitation Game.
Yeah.
Or, you know, these different war movies that are about a person. And it looked really cool, and it felt like something I definitely wanted to see,
but
I just never got around to it.
No. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was very good. And the thing is that I went into it kind of concerned that it was a bit too long and that I wouldn't enjoy it too much. And I liked it more than I thought I would. And
I didn't
think the movie dragged
nearly
as much as I thought. I mean, really. I remember at one point my watch warned me because my heart rate was up because I was getting stressed out watching it because the movie was stressing me out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely liked Oppenheimer, and I think it was a really great movie.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Past Lives. It's a love story.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about childhood sweethearts that find themselves, find each other again later on.
Yeah, and that seems... my wife Arielle has flooded our Netflix with Korean dramas or K-dramas, as people call them. And I'm like, well, that movie is up her alley.
Yep.
So I wrote that one down.
It's
going
to be on the list.
But I'll gladly watch it as well.
That one is streaming on Hoopla.
Nice.
If you have a library card and to a library that subscribes to Hoopla, it's a free streaming service with library cards.
Well, you know how that having fun isn't hard, right?
When you've got a library card. That's right. Poor Things was nominated for Best Picture as well.
Yeah.
That was the story of Bella Baxter by Emma Stone.
Yes.
Bella Baxter is an experiment. She is the body of a grown woman with the brain of a child, of a baby.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the one that I picked because it was the one that I kind of heard the most buzz about.
Mm-hmm. Zone of Interest is the last one on this list. Yeah, Zone of Interest is an international film, and it is about a family living on the edge of Auschwitz. I believe he's a Nazi officer that has been assigned there.
Mm.
And he's, you know, raising this. They're having this idyllic life on base, and they're sharing the wall with the concentration camp.
Yeah, like if you go to their backyard or something, and that stone wall is also the stone wall keeping people in Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the movie doesn't really focus on the atrocities that are happening, but you can kind of infer them based on the visuals and the sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Because it being the concentration camp to end them all, as it were, because it's just the one that everyone knows the name of.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
It's like you already know what's going on in there, so just the small hints is enough.
Yeah. Knowing.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's talk about the next award.
Yeah.
Best director.
I did Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
Ah,
that was
nice.
One of the Good few one. That I got right.
I chose Christopher Nolan as well, and so did the odds makers, I guess.
Nice.
Steven Spielberg got to
announce
this
one.
And so it was really nice to see him. He was a great sport tonight.
Yeah.
He
really
was.
There were some jokes with Steven Spielberg, and he really played along. And you know, he was pretty nice about it.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, one of my favorite parts of the night was the two ladies from Barbie, America, and
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. That's right.
Yeah.
Came up and they were doing documentary.
Yeah.
And like they were listing off all these documentaries, and then she goes Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Jurassic World Dominion. She's like, no.
Talking Adams.
The I know. My ears perked up.
You're like, I'm glad you chose those ones.
Yes.
No, Kate, the dinosaurs weren't real.
Oh, America, not you too.
No, I know the dinosaurs were real, but in the movies, they were CGI. There was a documentary about it.
My God, Dr. Spielberg, sir. Is this true?
Is that true, Dr. Spielberg? And they pan over to him, and he's looking at her, and he just goes, shakes his head no. And I was like, that's so good. But Jeff Goldblum is real, right? No.
No.
Because then Kate McKinnon was like, so who have I been sending all my tasteful nudes to?
That's right. And then she went back to Spielberg and
he's pointing to himself.
Yeah.
Oh. That was really funny.
Honestly.
I enjoyed that bit a lot.
That was so cute. Mm-hmm. And this was Christopher Nolan's first Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he won it for directing Oppenheimer.
Yeah, he'd been nominated a bunch of times, I think.
He's a big name that we hear a lot. And it's kind of surprising.
It is.
It's one of those names where you're like, really? He hasn't won an Oscar yet?
I mean,
he made Memento. I mean, and seriously?
And the Dark Knight trilogy was
such a big thing when it came out.
So big. And, you know, then there's Inception and Tenet and, you know, all those movies. It's like, oh my gosh, we thought for sure, like,
by now,
he would have one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now he does.
But now he does. So on to best actor of the night. Bradley Cooper was nominated. So was Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. The winner was Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. And Jeffrey Wright was also nominated for American Fiction.
Yeah.
So the one really cool thing that I liked about tonight was that when they did the actor categories, they had five of their peers who had won in the past come out and do a little speech about each one.
Yeah.
Including last year's winner, just like they always do.
Yeah. Honoring them even though they're not going to win because only one of them can win, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, rather than just show a clip of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I do really like.
I missed that.
I still like them.
I always
liked them in there.
Yeah, I was like in the past when they would be like, oh, so and so is nominated, and they would show you a clip and like you got to see it.
Yeah.
Like the acting.
It was usually like the best part or the their like most impactful part from the film.
Yes.
But yes, I still liked this a lot. Yeah. I don't know if there's a way that they could combine the two, shorten the clip and the monologue, but I don't know, maybe it's too much.
I really did think this was kind of cool though,
yeah,
to see them, because it seemed like they picked somebody who was their friend or knew them personally so they could talk to them, you know. And so for best actor, the winner was Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. Did you guys choose?
No, I chose Jeffrey Wright from...
He did such a good job in American Fiction.
I picked Paul Giamatti just because I wanted it to happen. But that's okay.
I picked Cillian Murphy, and so did the odds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But you know what the odds people like were wrong about?
Yeah.
Was best actress.
Yes.
Yeah, this one
yes,
I got
it
right.
Was.
Yes. Yeah. So the winner of best actress was Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Carey Mulligan was also nominated for Maestro. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Lily Gladstone was the first ever Native American woman to be nominated for best actress. Annette Bening for Naiad also nominated. Yeah. So yeah, Emma Stone, and yeah, the odds, I got that one right, but the the odds, they were thinking Lily Gladstone would be the winner of that one.
Yeah, so you would have gotten some moolah for that one if you had bet on Emma.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I loved her moment on stage. She was so flustered. Yeah. I mean, I do feel a little bad for her because it's just like, I mean, only because it was probably really stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, like, you're doing great. Like, hang in there, you know? I just want to give her a hug, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she was so, like, surprised, it seemed. Mm-hmm. And then her whole bit about, like, don't look at my dress that broke.
Yeah, her dress had broken in the bag.
It was really funny.
She blamed it on the Ken song.
I'm just Ken, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I think it happened then.
It was just a really nice little speech.
Yeah.
It was. She seemed surprised, and she honored Lily Gladstone while she was up there. She said, we share this award. And I mean, Lily Gladstone did a phenomenal job in Killers of the Flower Moon. Emma Stone in Poor Things. It was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable performance. It really was like the performance of a lifetime.
I mean,
it really was.
A one of a kind kind of role.
Yeah. So let's talk about Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Talking about career defining moments or Seriously. Big moments for our careers.
Yeah.
Did you guys get this one right?
No, but I know you guys did.
Yeah. Who did you choose, Mars?
I went with Ryan Gosling.
For Barbie.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, the winner. Yeah, the winner for Best Supporting Actor was Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer.
Finally, dude.
We were making up these lists, and I said, it's his night. It's his finally. This is it. It's finally coming. This is it. And that sounds a little crazy to say, because he just feels like one of those people who should have a bunch of Oscars and a bunch of nominations. And no, he's only been nominated 3 times. So good in Oppenheimer. It's incredible.
Yeah.
He really did such a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And he's my favorite actor of all time. So
his whole speech was really good.
It was a good speech. He said, I'd like to thank my terrible childhood. Oh man. The other people nominated were Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. Fantastic job, obviously. Yes. Very, very good. Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Ryan Gosling and Barbie, Mark Ruffalo and Poor Things. They were all
they were fantastic as well.
Best Supporting Actress. This was probably my favorite award of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best Supporting Actress. Did you guys get this one right?
I did not. Nope. But I was very happy for the winner.
I got this one right, and so did the odds people. Ah. The winner was Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers.
Nice.
Well deserved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For so long, I've always wanted to be different. And now I realize I just need to be myself. And I thank you. I thank you for seeing me.
After I picked who I thought, I picked America Ferrera.
Yeah. Also great. Yeah.
But, you know, leading up to it, as they were talking about them and thinking about The Holdovers, just as I just watched it, I was just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I feel it. I feel it coming now. So
when they were showing clips of the movies and stuff at the beginning, and they showed a clip of her, and I was like, if she doesn't win, I swear to God. For this part. Yeah. So Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. She's a fantastic job. And I didn't know they mentioned this, that she in the glasses she wears in the movie were her grandmother's glasses.
Yeah, which is so cool.
So the other people nominated were Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, and Jodie Foster for Naiad. Nice. Original screenplay. This was kind of a weird category this year.
Yeah.
The screenplays were kind of controversial because Barbie was listed as adapted.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't based on anything.
Yeah, like, what is it adapted from? It's like, sure, it's toy. Using the character, but, like, come on. The whole story's its own.
Nothing exists,
Ugh.
So, original screenplay was Anatomy of a Fall. That is one I got wrong.
Yeah,
I thought, well, I had The Holdovers winning.
Me too.
It's not that I thought it would win. It's just I wanted it to win.
Same.
Right.
But Anatomy of a Fall is the winner. Other nominees were Holdovers, May, December, Maestro, and Past Lives. Adapted screenplay. The winner of that was American Fiction.
Yes.
I got that one wrong.
I got that one wrong as well.
Yeah.
Same.
Yes. Too. I got that one wrong.
I thought if Barbie was going to get one, it was going to get...
Yeah.
I was hoping Barbie would get adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
This and or song.
Yeah. But you know what? American Fiction is such such a great screenplay.
Oh, yeah.
So really, it was good. It's good.
Yeah.
The other nominees were Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. Animated feature.
Yes. Woo,
yeah.
This is one that the odds got wrong.
Yeah.
And so did we.
Yes, we did.
We all got this one wrong. We thought it would be Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, but the winner was The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah, man. Yay.
Which is a movie that I saw twice in theaters.
Yes. Here's the thing. if I had worked on Spider-Man and was like almost expecting to get the Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I lost to Hayao Miyazaki, I'd be like, all right.
That's fine.
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I mean?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm not gonna lose to anybody.
Yeah.
The dude comes out of retirement.
Yeah.
And makes a critically acclaimed masterpiece, as he does.
Every few years he likes to come out of retirement.
Like,
I'm just like, you know what? I've got another Spider-Man movie coming. Right. We'll be all right.
Yeah. We're gonna be
fine. It's gonna be fine.
The first one won.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
I mean, if there's anyone to lose to,
I mean, The Boy and the Heron is such a beautiful movie. It's incredible.
So good.
It really is. It's such an incredible
movie. Had some great
voice
actors in it. Yeah,
it sure did.
Yeah,
it sure did. It had some really, really good talent in it. And
everyone races for the chance to be a. In a Ghibli movie.
Yeah, Ghibli dub, absolutely. Definitely. The other nominees were Elemental, Nimona, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and Robot Dreams. Nimona would have been a great win, too.
I would have loved to see that win.
Would have stuck it to Disney
so bad.
Yep.
No, if you have not seen Nimona, please watch it.
Yeah,
it's very good. Mm-hmm. The next one was Production Design. Poor Things was the winner of Production Design.
Yep.
The other nominees were Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer. I really was surprised a little bit that Barbie didn't win this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they did build all those sets.
That is true.
Yeah.
In Barbie, and like that was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's one of the best looking, like Barbie Land is one of the best looking sets ever, in my opinion, just because of how real and also fake it looks. It's
the dream house come to life.
It's so well done. Yeah.
And the colors that they chose. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
The
yes.
plastic beach and the plastic waves out there. He jumps into, you know what I mean? That it's so good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Poor Things, I think that it was just so completely original too.
Yeah.
Just such a, you know.
Yep.
Costume design. The winner of that was also Poor Things. That is one.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That's when I got right. Yay.
Well done.
Yeah. I did not.
The odds got that one wrong. They chose Barbie.
Yes, I chose Barbie as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the odds were in your favor. But...
Yeah, but and yet they weren't.
The other nominees were Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, and Oppenheimer. The winner for cinematography was Oppenheimer.
Yes.
Yep.
It really collected a lot of the awards.
It did. It did.
I chose Maestro, but changed it at the last second to Oppenheimer. Because I was like, you know what? It's going to be Oppenheimer.
I chose Killers of the Flower Moon just because I thought, you know, it's a long film that they,
And, you know, like we always say, like every single one of these, obviously they're nominated for a reason.
Yeah,
so,
true.
So you can't like pick a bad one. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're, obviously all of them are very good in the cinematography category.
Yeah.
So
the other nominees were El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, and Poor Things. Mm. Editing. The winner of editing was Oppenheimer also.
Woo, again.
Got that one.
I did not. I guessed Poor Things for that one.
Makeup and hairstyling. The winner of that was
Poor Things. Yeah.
Yes, I got that one wrong. I chose Maestro for that
one. Same. I did as well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What did you pick?
I picked Oppenheimer for that one. But
Yeah.
This one was kind of a guess for me because I
hadn't
seen enough to really know. So
yeah.
In Poor Things, there are characters like Willem Dafoe's character.
Especially Willem Dafoe.
Where he's kind of all stitched up and pieced together.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they did that very well. I chose Maestro because they had to use like the makeup to make him look older.
Yep.
Like they used makeup to to make him look very old, and they also used like the prosthetic nose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as well with Carrie Mulligan too.
Yeah, they aged her super well.
Age, yeah.
Yeah. The other nominees were Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Society of the Snow.
Yeah.
Sound.
Woo.
So for this one, they had John Mulaney
announce
this one.
That's right.
They sure did. And I honestly, I really enjoyed that. He did this funny little bit about Field of Dreams.
Or what about that moment in Field of Dreams when we hear, if you build it, he will come. And then Costner does it. He builds a baseball field. Well, I guess he doesn't build it. He mows down corn, and then there is a field. And then he's like, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball. And the bank is like, you want to pay your mortgage? And he's like, nah, I'm going to watch Ghost play baseball.
Man, I like Field of Dreams. That should win Best Picture. But they'll probably pick one of this year's.
Yeah. The winner for sound was The Zone of Interest. This is the one that the ads got wrong.
Yeah.
And was, I got it wrong as well.
I did too.
I really liked how in this they played clips of the movie with everything taken out except for the sound.
Yes.
They took the music. They took any dialogue out.
Yeah.
It was really cool, actually, to see moments.
It can be
just sound.
Yeah.
It can be hard for audiences to really understand what goes in for sound.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that was one thing, too, you know, when he accepted the award for sound, when he went up there for his own of interest, and he said, he was like, my mom was like, I don't understand the sounds. It sounds fine. I don't get it. Like, why? Like what do you do? Yeah. He's like, that's kind of a funny thing. And he's right. Because what he's saying is that, you know, everybody, we're all so used to everything making noises around us.
Yeah.
That we all just kind of assume that in movies, when we hear a sound, that's that thing actually making that sound.
Yeah.
And that is not the case because the microphones are not as good as our ears and they don't pick things up and they have to do things in post. They do them in a separate room and they have
especially if you see something happening from a distance.
Yeah.
Like one of the scenes from Mission Impossible that they showed was one of the other nominations was like a bridge collapsing with a train and everything. And the shot was from like, I don't know, 500 yards away.
Right. Yeah.
It's like we wouldn't be hearing it.
Yeah.
No.
Like nearly as.
It would just be like,
It
would be kind of a muffled sound.
Also, when they're making up sounds.
Yeah.
Sounds that actually aren't there that they need to add in post to, make it sound like something is blowing up when actually, it's just CGI that they're using or something.
Sound is one of those things that if they do it incorrectly, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And it really could ruin a movie.
Yeah.
But when they do it correctly, you don't even notice.
Yep.
Doesn't even feel like anybody did anything at all.
Yeah. Yep.
So the winner of that was The Zone of Interest. Visual effects. Adam, look, you do this one.
I will do this one.
Yeah. I wonder why.
The winner of visual effects was, of course, Godzilla Minus One. I'm so happy that it won because this is the first time a Godzilla movie in the history of Godzilla has been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And it also won
that
nomination. And that is so cool. And seeing the group of people get so excited.
Yeah.
It just made me feel so good. Because earlier when they announced the nominations, there was a video that went around online of them kind of in an office or something watching the nominations get announced.
Yeah.
And when they saw Godzilla Minus One pop up, they all went, they had party poppers and stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, party it up because they were so excited. And then to win it.
My career began 40 years ago after the shock of seeing Star Wars and the Close Encounters of the Third Kind. To someone so far from Hollywood, even the possibility of standing on this stage seemed out of reach. The moment we are nominated, we felt like Rocky Balboa.
It was so cool. And the guy who gave the speech was doing his best try at speaking English.
Yeah.
And that woman who was there with him was like,
trying to help him.
She was helping him out. Because
there
yeah.
were some
yeah.
words that he couldn't figure
she was,
out.
She was whispering in his ear. Yeah.
That's when I was mad that they started playing the music I know, to take them off. I was like, guys, mm-hmm. come on.
Every time I'm like, oh, don't do it. Don't do it this way. Yeah. Don't play the music.
Like,
don't.
Just let yeah, them he do want, it.
He wanted to do it himself rather than get a translator.
Right. Yeah.
Which I totally understand. Yeah. So he had it all written down.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
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 The really meaningful parts he was able to say, no problem. Like, you know, basically the gist of his speech was anyone can win an Oscar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody really believed, but here we are.
He
that
talked
kind of
about
thing.
Seeing Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
And
Rocky Balboa.
And how
too.
They felt like Rocky Balboa when they won.
And they all had Godzilla toys.
They did.
With them.
It was amazing.
I love that. The guy who made the speech had a golden one. He was trying to open his paper, but he was like struggling because he had the Oscar in his hand.
An Oscar so and a golden
and
Godzilla.
And a golden Godzilla.
So he's like, he turned to a guy and he just hands it. My Godzilla, please. It was so good. I'm so happy. And I said to these two, I was like, if I could have any one thing win tonight, it would be this one. And I'm so happy that
It's always so nice to see somebody like just so genuinely happy and excited. Yeah. The other movies nominated were The Creator, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon.
Also very good visual effects movies. Not
definitely.
No lying about it.
Let's talk about original score.
Yeah.
So the movie that won for original score was Oppenheimer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. This ballot doesn't have the name of the composers.
Yeah.
It has the name of the movies. But I know that Ludwig Göransson was the person that won.
Mm-hmm.
And for Oppenheimer, very talented composer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot of movies, but he's done a lot of TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like TV shows in like the earlier years of his career. So he wrote all the music for New Girl.
He
like did a lot of TV shows that you've all seen, and
I know.
You know, I do want to say, so the other movies nominated were American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Poor Things. And I do want to say that the score for American Fiction was so good, and I really recommend anybody listening to that, and I was hoping that one would win, but I knew that Oppenheimer was gonna win. All right, so best original song.
Oh, yes.
Did you guys get this one right?
I did.
What was I made for? The Barbie movie by Billie Eilish. Yeah, Phineas. We'll just say Billie Eilish and Phineas.
Yes.
They don't say on here again who wrote the songs, but the other songs were The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, I'm Just Ken from Barbie, It Never Went Away from American Symphony, and Was Aze a Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon.
All of the performances were really cool.
I love the performances. Yeah. It's my favorite part of the Oscars.
Every year,
And I'm surprised at how they did the one from Killers of the Flower Moon, because it wasn't like overproduced or anything. It was like just how they would do it in real life, essentially.
Yep. Yeah.
Sit around the drum, bang on it together, and then the dancers around with the kind of the bells. Yeah. You could hear the bells on them.
Yep.
And it was really cool to see.
It was awesome.
Fascinating, to be honest. So
yeah. I was really happy. Marcy and I were a little worried that I'm Just Ken from Barbie might win. That performance was amazing.
It was so good.
It's a fun performance.
Oh, yeah.
Should it have won? No. Like, I mean, we knew that it should not win.
Yeah. What Was I Made For is just, it's such a great song. I know that, like, it's overplayed on TikTok a lot, but the lyrics are just so poignant and wonderful. I just love them, you know? Yeah, so I was really glad it won.
Yes, same.
I would have been really surprised, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was a little worried.
It would have been a big upset.
I'm Just Ken won the Critics' Choice Award.
Yeah.
So it was a little like...
And they saved that performance for last.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yep. Best Documentary Feature. The winner of that was 20 Days in Mariupol.
Yes, got that one right.
Yeah.
I liked his speech for this
one
when he came up.
I was so worried they were going to play him off.
Yes, I was too. And he was like, I'm going to be the only one that's going to say that I wish I didn't make this film. Mm-hmm. And it was, him just even saying that. So,
I would trade this in a second to undo everything.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And I believe he said that he was the first Ukrainian, they were the first Ukrainian
Oscar ever.
Yeah.
Period.
So that was really cool as well.
That was really cool. Yeah. The other movies nominated were Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and of course, 20 Days in Mariupol. Mm. Then international feature. Did you guys get this one right?
I did, but because of you.
Nope. I need to remember this trick.
Here's my rule. If a movie is nominated for both international feature and best picture, none of the other nominees for international feature are nominated for best picture, that's the winner. I've done it every year, and it has never been wrong.
Yeah, not failed. That is the time that it does fail you will be
that'll be quite a day.
I will be blown away. But yeah, so the winner of best international feature was The Zone of Interest. The country was United Kingdom. The other nominees were The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, Lo Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, and Society of the Snow from Spain. And this was also a really good speech. And, you know, he talked about, you know, what's going on right now, the current events. So then animated short. We're almost done, everybody.
Yeah.
Animated short. Best animated short is War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. The other nominees were Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, and Pachyderm. Those are the other ones. From the clips, this looks really good.
I was going to say that, too.
Yeah, they all look really interesting.
I was like, whoa.
And Yoko's son spoke at the very end of the speech.
Yes.
He said Happy Mother's Day, because in the UK, it was Mother's Day today.
Yeah, we heard a lot of Happy Mother's Day on there. Mm.
So best documentary short went to The Last Repair Shop. Yeah.
Yeah, that was another good speech. They had one of the students, like, basically... That it was about come up there and
it
just
was
like
so cute.
Yeah. 12-year-old holding her Oscar.
She had like this princess dress.
I know, this beautiful ball gown.
Yeah. Oh, it was so cute. And she just was smiling the whole time.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Oh my gosh. So that one I actually got right, but you know what? The odds makers got that one wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did they pick?
They picked the ABCs of book banning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The other things nominated were book banning and The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, and Nai and Waipo. All right, last one.
This
is it. But yeah, so live action short. The winner was The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's a Wes Anderson.
It is.
Yeah.
This was actually Wes Anderson's first Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, shoot. Yeah.
And he wasn't there.
No. And it was really funny because one of the announcers that basically accepted it for him said something hilarious. What was it? It was like...
He was like, good job, Wes. We knew you could make him long, so wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
Absolutely
funny.
We laughed so much at that. Oh,
man.
Gosh. Yeah.
I mean, we did it. That's it. We survived.
Yeah.
We made it through, and you listened to our final ever briefcase of the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. We might do it again next year.
Yeah, who knows?
It's fun.
If you tell us to do it,
then
post comments wherever you can or become a patron, and then we'll have to do it.
Yeah.
If you tell us to, because that's how it works if you're a patron most of the time.
But this was a really good year.
Yeah.
There were lots of different movies nominated. Mm-hmm. They were fascinating, lots of interesting stuff. The performances were really good. This was a really entertaining Oscars, essentially.
And there was no major drama.
Yes.
Which is usually the most interesting part of it.
There was no massive drama going on in the background.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't talk about John Cena. You want to talk about that?
Yes, John Cena.
Because it was the anniversary of when a streaker...
ran across
the stage
in like 1970 something.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy Kimmel, you know, did a bit where he's like, "Oh, let's recreate that," you know, with John Cena.
I said, can you imagine if a nude man ran across the stage today? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Psst. Psst, Jimmy.
What? I can't come there. Do the thing. Excuse me for a second. What's going on? You're supposed to run across the stage.
I changed my mind. I don't want to do the streaker bit anymore.
And, like, he has to come out to do the award, and he's completely naked. He's holding the envelope over his, you know.
Yeah.
Area.
Which I'm certain he wasn't completely naked, but they made it look like
he was. Yeah, they definitely made it look like it. And then all he was wearing that we could see really was these sandals. Just like, yeah. Are those the Birkenstock ones?
Yeah, they were like Birkenstocks. Yeah.
And he's like, I'll need this envelope. He's holding the envelope
there,
and he's like, I need to open the envelope to announce this. Yeah. Like, help.
I can't do it.
Jimmy Kimmel comes back out and it's like, here are the nominees. And then between then, they dress him in like part of the curtain.
Yeah. It was a very Carol Burnett kind of moment.
Yes, it really was. But anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in and checking out this briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we will be back very soon with Animation April. So, you know, just to look forward to that.
Yes. Let us know if there are any other Oscar moments from this year that you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Or if we missed anything. Yep.
Or if you did a ballot and you want to let us know how much better you did than us.
Yeah, better, you know. Better than Marcy and I. Maybe not as good as Robin. Robin is just so good at it some reason.
Exactly. Or if you also beat the score of the...
Oh, yeah.
If you did better than 17, let us know.
Yeah, did you bet on the Oscars?
My gosh, yeah.
And do you want to give us some of your money?
Yes.
Just kidding.
Thank you so much for listening.
See ya.
Bye.